chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. The title of my message is Faith to be Healed, and it comes out of one of the verses in our main passage this morning of verses 7 through 10. In the way of background, you could go up to verse 1, and Paul and Barnabas are on a missionary journey. They've been sent out from Antioch, and they're now in modern-day Turkey. And they've been going around. They sent on a missionary journey to do what? To build houses? To open food banks? No, to preach the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, people don't like it. And so in verse 1, we could see here in Acts chapter 14, it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed." When God's word gets spoken, it will not come back void. People will get saved. Amen. There's a lot of reasons people don't get saved today, because no one speaks God's word.
Right.
Verse 2. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." You know, the Jews always seem to instigate things, right? They caused Pilate and the Romans to crucify Christ. No, they crucified Christ. They are against the gospel because they deny that Jesus is the Messiah. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. What did the Jews believe? And so wherever the gospel is preached, there's going to be what? Resistance. The world doesn't like it. Verse 3, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord." When you come up to some sort of person that says, "Hey, I don't want you to speak this," do you be quiet?
Well,
you shouldn't be quiet. We ought to obey God rather than man. You know, this country does have free speech. Don't let people tell you you can't speak the gospel.
Right.
And so they spoke what? Boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So to prove the authenticity of Paul and Barnabas, they did miracles. So the people would understand the message. Verse 4. "But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles." You know, God says, "I don't come bring peace, I came to bring a sword." And you either believe God's truth or you don't. And if you believe God's truth, you're going to be against those that don't believe God's truth. And folks, we've got to stand for the truth.
Amen.
And so this caused a division in the city. And when there was both an assault made both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. See, verse 3, they said, "We don't want you to preach this anymore." They try to cancel them out. There's nothing new in the sun. Mankind and Satan for eternity, for history, has been basically trying to stamp out the message. And if that doesn't work, what happens? They use force. So there's assault here in verse 5. But did that stop Paul and Barnabas?
No.
Should resistance stop us? No. No. "They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." So if you get run out of town for preaching the gospel, you go to the next town, what would you do? Preach the gospel. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to study your word, Father, and to preach it. Father, we ask that the truth will change our lives. And Lord, help us, Lord, to have faith to be healed. Help us, Lord, to make a decision to follow you today. If there's someone who does not know you as Savior, Lord, today I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, help us today. We're a needy people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 7, it says, "And there they preached the gospel." Folks, the mission of the church is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
The mission of each Christian is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
The mission of a missionary is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And so they started doing exactly what God sent them there. And wherever you are, you need to preach the gospel. And it says, and there came a certain man, or there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. So he never walked. He's had this problem since birth. Who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, hence the title of our message, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked to the glory of God. And so, three things I want to point out this morning about this man who had faith to be healed. And this can apply to us individually and apply to us as a church. This man wanted to be healed. Paul sensed that he was tired of the condition that he was living in physically, and basically allowed, and God allowed him to be healed. But you know something? There's a lot of people today that just think that they are okay the way they are. You know, if I was a cripple and I could not walk, I would probably do anything that I could to walk. If you had some sort of disease, you would try to get everything to get that disease gone. I don't think anyone would sit back and say, well, I just accept this. I like why I am. I told a story this morning. I'm going to repeat it again. I live in a neighborhood called Heritage. It's over by Stevens High School. And one of the things I do for God is a witnessing opportunity, is I mow the entry islands to the neighborhood. And there's on Petranco, there's one at Duke, there's one at Ellison, there's another one that somebody else does. And so at the intersection of Dugas and Allison, Dugas and Petranco, I took my lawnmower up there and I was going to mow it when it was at night because it's summertime and it's hot. So I like to do it at night. So I go up there and someone has run into the sign that says Heritage, brick sign, and knocked it down. Bricks all over the place, so I pick up the bricks and stack them up. While I was picking up the bricks, I found the license plate. I said, ah. I said, license plate? Well, I called the police. And the police said, yeah, we already had a report on it. So I said, oh, this is not a problem at all. And so I called the Homeowners Association, and I called the guy there, and I said, hey, this guy hit the sign. I have the license plate, have the police report. He's at fault. Let's go, file against the insurance and get the sign fixed. Get the bricks fixed. Yeah, we'll get right on it. A month goes by. Nothing. 2 months go by. Nothing. Hey, did you call? Yeah, I'll get to it. It's now been 6 years and it's still busted up. Had all the opportunity, had everything else, but, we just like it the way it is. We just accept it the way it is. People just accept being broken. People accept just not having victory in their life. You like being a cripple? No. No one likes being that. But in church, we just like kind of sit back and say, we'll just take the status quo. Some people think that they're just okay. This is okay. There's a philosophy. I'm okay, you're okay. Not with God. See, the issue is we're supposed to be more like God every day.
Right.
In Corinthians it says that we're supposed to be changed from what? Glory to glory. So in reality, there's always something God wants you to change. But people just kind of sit back and they said, I don't want to change. Christ has healed a paralytic man. He called Matthew or Levi to be his disciple, and now he's eating in a house. And he's eating with sinners and publicans. And the religious people of the day come and say, "Hey, Jesus, you need to be talking to us. You need to be one of us. We're okay." Those people aren't okay. And Christ says this. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "When Jesus heard this, he said unto them, 'They that are whole have no need of the physician.'" If you think you're okay today, then you have no need for God in your life. You think God's done everything he can for you, then your faith has ended. See, you think that Christ says here, you think you're okay, you have no need for a physician, but God is the great physician. It says, "But they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous," because they thought their righteousness was enough, but it wasn't okay. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's in a group of individuals. You know, it sounds like a church. When Christ told John to write the letters to the seven churches, the seventh church was Laodicea, which is also in Turkey, in the same general area here. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, this is what happens when you just think, "I'm okay. I don't need God." He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. I'm okay." I oftentimes will encounter this. I'll give a track out or I'll witness to somebody else. And instead of taking this, I said, "I'm good. I'm good. I don't need that. That's fine. That's good for you, but I'm good. I'm okay." No, you're not. You need the gospel. It says, "Because I have need of nothing and knowest not, though thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Folks, this morning I want to challenge you that okay is not good enough. We need to add to our faith. We need to have faith to be healed. We need to go beyond this stuff. See, that man knew he needed a change. He had a spiritual change. He says, "Well, if God's good enough for my soul, God's good enough to heal me of my crippledness, of my deformity." See, we often think that God's good enough for my salvation, but he's not good. That's all I need. I'm okay. I'm good enough. No, we need faith to be healed. We need faith to go beyond that. See, what God wants to do is he wants to bring real change in your life. He wants to see a real level of commitment. He wants to see a real change in character. But the only change I see in churches today is bringing the world into the church and having the world change the church.
Right.
Or having the world change God's word. Or having the world change God's will. God changes not.
Amen.
I am the Lord. See, God wants to bring real change in your life. He wants to give you abundant life. In John 10:10, talking about the shepherd, and I'm the door to the sheep. He says, "The thief cometh not but to what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." I've come to give you real change. I've come to give you eternal life. Something that's different. You've never experienced it before. I come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. Oh, folks, don't be just, "That's okay for me. I'm good where I'm at." No, God wants you to go on. He wants you to go further. That's how your faith is increased. Do you have faith to go further? Do you have faith to be healed out of the malaise of being okay? In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, Christ's first preaching when he was a young man, and he's in the temple and he's talking to people, and the other party's gone and they're looking for him. And he picks up Isaiah 61 and he reads this. This is what God wants to do. He wants to bring real change in your life. And in verse 18 it says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to what? Preach the gospel. When Paul and Barnabas got into the city, what did they do? And there they preached the gospel. When they got to Iconium, there they preached the gospel. Folks, the first thing we need to do is get the gospel out. He says, preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Have you been wounded in your heart? God can change you. You don't have to accept that broken heart. God can change that. To preach deliverance to the captives. Are you bound in something in your life? You can't get out? God can get you out. He says to set... He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind. Have you lost sight of God? Have we lost sight of our way? Have we lost sight of the direction that God wants? He's going to bring that back. But we need to want to do that. That man wanted to be healed. To set at liberty them that are bruised. You may be out there hurting today. I got good news for you. God wants to change that. God wants to change that. He may not change the physical condition that you're in, but he'll give you the grace to endure it. He'll give you the ability to say, "What? My will, but your will be done." And then lastly, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, God wants to bring real change in your life. The only reason he's going to bring real change, the only way he's going to bring real change in your life, if you say, "What I'm in right now is not okay." We've not arrived yet. We're supposed to be changed from glory to glory until we're conformed to his image. That is the will of God for your life. Oh, folks, this morning, I want God to bring real change to your life. I want God to bring real change to our church. I want God to bring real revival to us. But we need to want to do it. It comes from wanting to be healed. Secondly, the man knew God could heal. There's a lot of things that we know about God, but do we actually believe them? You know, belief is going beyond knowledge and actually having it change our lives. See, we all know that God can do anything. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it's talking about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to inherit kingdom, heaven. And the disciples go, "What are you talking about?" And it says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible." But we all know this, right? With God, all things are possible. I got a question for you. If we truly believe this verse, then why isn't God controlling our lives? Why isn't God controlling our actions? Because we think we're okay. Because we don't want to go further. See, we know that God can do anything. That man knew that God could heal him. That man knew that the God that Paul served and the message that he was preaching could heal him. See, the man knew that the Christ who saves could also heal. And we need to understand that, folks. That's where we make him Lord of our life. I think too often that we think of God as just fire insurance for not going to hell. But God is supposed to be ruler of our life. He's supposed to be master. He's supposed to be sovereign. He's supposed to be all these things. He's supposed to direct us and guide us and lead us. But we need to want to be led. We need to want to change. We need to want to be healed. See, the man knew that God could heal. Because we know that God can do anything. But here's the reality. My second challenge you this morning is I want you to move beyond knowledge of God and to following him. I want you to move beyond knowledge of God into actually having belief that will change the way you think, change the way you act, change the relationships you're in, and change you on the inside out. But the reality of it is we fall short of what we know God wants us to do through just knowledge. I know Him. I'm a Christian. There's a lot of people that I know that are Christians that are stuck in sin because they want to be stuck in sin. I'm okay. I got my salvation. That's good enough for me. No, it's not.
Amen.
We're supposed to be holy, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We're supposed to be different. We're a new creature in Christ. All things pass away. All things become new. And if you're doing the same thing again, something's wrong. You know God up here, but He's not working in here. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Paul writes about this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. We know that in God all the promises are yea. We know that Peter writes and says, we have great and exceeding precious promises. And what God says is true. We've been seeing in Isaiah that all the prophecies are going to come true. And it should give us encouragement to go further. But look at verses 1 and 2 here in Hebrews 4. It says, let us therefore fear or have respect for God, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. See, Christ told His disciples, He told the crowd, come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set at liberty the captives. I've come to set you free. I've come to give you something more. More. If you just want it. But look at this. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into its rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I just don't understand why God's not working in my life. I just don't understand why I have victory in my life. Do you want it? It's an issue of faith. Verse 2. But unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why is God not working in our lives? Maybe it's because we don't have faith. The Bible says this. It says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Folks, it's time to examine yourself and ask yourself, do I have real saving faith? Do I have real guidance from the Holy Spirit? Am I really following Him? Or am I just okay? If you're just accepting the status quo, there's something wrong. He wants to present His church as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. See, that was the problem with the Israelites. That's the problem with churches today. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And Christ says, this is why I speak in parables. Because well did Isaiah say this. He says, and He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. Is today just like peanuts and the teacher and the peanuts thing where wah, 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 wah? Or do you actually understand what God's saying to you today? He's saying, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. You know what? Because you're falling short. We just have a head knowledge of God, not a heart knowledge. We don't let our heart rule our head. Folks, that's what we need to do. This man saw something. He had heard about what was going on in Iconium. He knew that there's a power to heal here. There's something to give him, something that he couldn't get fixed from birth. You know, Job. I'm sure Job didn't want to go through that trouble. The woman that had the issue of blood, 12 years she wasted until she figured out the Jesus. The leper came and said, and Christ says, what do you want? He says, if you will, I can be healed. The blind man, have mercy on us. They wanted to be healed. Okay, it wasn't good enough for them. They wanted something more. And they knew that Christ could do whatever he wanted to do. And they were willing to bet on it. They were willing to commit to it. They were willing to base their faith on it. So the first thing was that the man wanted to be healed. Do you want to be healed this morning? Or are you going to walk out of here the same way you came in? The man knew God could heal. Do you know what God can do? But do we believe it? The last thing is that the man, God, did heal. See, the issue is he had saving faith. You go back to our text. And it says, in verse 9, it says, the same heard Paul speak. You know, Romans 10:17 says this. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What were they doing in verse 7? They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the word of God. And this man heard it, and he had saving faith. God's not going to work in your life unless you know him personally as your Savior. He's not going to work in your life if you want to say, I want to hold on to this sin. Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not bless me. We cry, bless me, Lord, but I'm okay. I want God to do all the work. No, we need to mix our faith with our knowledge. We need to do something more. James says, you got to have works that show your faith. Because it's hard to convince other people. This man had saving faith. And he knew the man that could that saved him could also heal him. And it was a living faith. A living faith is something that other people can see. Look at what verse 9 continues to say. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and what? Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. See, that oozed out of the guy. Does God ooze out of you? Does your faith ooze out of you that people know that you're a Christian? Or do you look just like everybody else? We're supposed to be a difference. We're supposed to be a difference. He had living faith that could be seen by Paul. And Paul said, you're going to get more than just salvation today. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul's instructing the church. He says, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in what? Me do. I have a question for you this morning. If people based their spiritual walk off what you teach and what you show and what you do, where would your faith be today? Where would the church be today? There's one standard, Christ. Right. In Christ alone, my hope is found. In Christ alone, I'm standing on the solid rock. He and He alone. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. See, Paul saw this man. Paul saw this man get saved. And then he saw this man say, I know God can do something here for the glory of God. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to glorify God in our flesh. And the God of peace shall be with you. So the man that God did heal had saving faith. The man God did heal had living faith. The man that God did heal had moving faith. Look at what happens. It says, the same heard Paul speak, and steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. See, when God does something, he does things all the way. You know, when you learn to walk, what happened? Hang on to this. You walk around the table like this, or you're in some sort of walker to kind of learn how to do it. No, God brings an instant change. Just like the man that was outside the temple doors. where Peter and John said, "Look on us." And he leaped up and he walked. He went into the temple jumping up and down. And people go, "What?" This man did the same thing. This man did the same thing. He had moving faith. Literally, he had moving faith. He's walking up and down. He didn't have to be taught how to walk. He just did it. He didn't have to be taught how to jump. He just said, "How high?" Because God was there. And he heard it. You know, maybe you got something in your life that you need moved. Matthew chapter 17 verse 20 says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." Why couldn't we do this? Because you think you're okay. Because you have a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge of God. "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith, the grain of mustard seed," y'all know this. If we all know this, why isn't it working in our lives? We must think that we're okay. We must think that, "Nah, it's good enough for them, but not good enough for me." We may not want to release it and give it to God. He says, "Ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be" what? "Impossible for you." See, with God, all things are possible. It says, if you have this faith, then God, all things are what? Possible. You know why? Because God's in it. See, faith to be healed is not in what faith you defined as. It's in faith in God and God alone. See, saving faith, to get to heaven, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ alone. That he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And he offers salvation. If you ask him, "Jesus, forgive me my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again the third day. I know that you're in heaven right now. I know you're coming back. Save me." If you've never done that, do it today. That's where this faith journey begins. It's not an experiment. It starts with an experience with God. And then from that point on, it goes from a relationship and it adds to our faith. Do you have faith this morning? Or are you just okay? That's okay for me. Or, "God, I really have this problem here, but I really want to try to solve it myself instead of giving it to you." Or, "God, I have this problem. This has been bugging me all my life and nothing's changed. Can you help me?" He will, if we have faith. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and heal us. Lord, help us to leap up and walk in you. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will have full reign today. We ask that our lives will be changed. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you give to us. Help us, Lord, to increase our faith as the disciples asked. Increase our faith. Help us to have faith that to deal with our issues. Help us to have faith to go out beyond where we are right now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.